We all know people who live messy lives. In fact, they thrive in situations involving organized chaos. And we sometimes wonder how or if they will ever become more organized. In Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 6 through 11, Paul reminds us of an uncomfortable truth about just how messed up we were before accepting Christ as our Lord and personal Savior. This week, Pastor Jerry Seawright begins a new series on evangelism with his sermon entitled, From a Mess to a Messenger. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
From a mess to a messenger. Ouch. So what that tells you today is that this may not be a message that your natural man will feel good with, okay? But through God's eyes, through the vision that God has given you, we're going to work on your appreciation. Amen? Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 6 through 11, and it's really verse 5 through 11 if you look at the text. We'll be covering that on today. People go through life without a worry, and they're spending their time on earthly things. They need to know that through their lives, there is a purpose. To a dying world, this message we must bring. Though we tend to feel security in our salvation, we should constantly think about the lost. There are people young and old, dying and losing their souls without ever taking time to count the cost. Now let this truth that we've learned, with this truth we've learned, we have to help our earth to turn from a world that's dark to glory and light. You need to know the reason why you're chosen. You're not here just to pass the time. I tend to think there is a purpose to your existence, and that's to tell some lost soul about Christ. So go and tell the world. If you're familiar with Commission, that's their song, way back in 1986. But I want to also read to you the second verse. Now that you've come out of the darkness, you should turn on the lights for a friend. Don't leave them there groping in darkness, but tell them how they can be born again. So go and tell somebody. Go and tell somebody. Today's message, as I stated, is focused on evangelism. And basically, that's what it is. Go and tell somebody. If you were to consult a reputable source on church government, it'll tell you that basically the church has three purposes. It tells you, one, that the church has the ministry to God, has a ministry to believers, and it has a ministry to the world. The ministry to God is worship. Amen? And when we come together, that's what we do corporately. We come together to worship. However, nowadays, church is kind of like warped and changing its view to a point where we are trying to water down church, where we are losing our worship, our ministry to God. As I stated last night, I was reading one minister, and he said, we are focused on trying to unchurch the unchurched. We're trying to focus on unchurching the unchurched to make church so cool that we're forgetting about worship, ministry to God. Then it says a ministry to believers. See, once you do go and tell, you don't leave them just there as a newborn babe in Christ, but you got to nurture them and you got to bring them along. So it's a ministry to believers. Amen. Then it's a ministry to the world, and that's called evangelism. Evangelism. Now, if you notice, at our church, we have three main arteries. Amen. And these three main arteries, guess what they line up with? Ministry to God, ministry to believers, and ministry to the world. Now, in order for a church to be healthy, we have to have a proper balance between the three. Amen? A proper balance between the three. Too much focus on either will be trouble, right? So, I want you also to please note this. We are talking about the balance for the church, not individual. Okay? We're talking about the balance for the church, not balance for the individual. Because honestly, you remember a few weeks ago, we had you all do a survey, right? And then some of you were shepherds, and some were, what they call it, mercy givers, right? And on and on and on. So most of your time as an individual will be spent on your ministry, on that specific ministry that God called you in. You understand what I'm saying? So we're talking about a balance for the church. Amen? Now, there is a type of question that you ask solely to produce a thought. There's a type of question that you ask where you solely ask it just to produce a thought. In other words, when they ask this question, they're not asking you to answer it. It's just to solely produce a thought, right? It's called a rhetorical question, right? I got one. If there is confusion in the execution of these purposes, who's the author of it? I didn't ask you to answer. See, I like that, because that's what I want. I want to, yeah? I want you to think about it. If there's some confusion in the execution of these purposes, then who's the author of it? The concept or idea that I would like for you all to grasp today is that evangelism expresses appreciation. Evangelism and witnessing shows that you are appreciative of what God has done for you. Right? Now, there are two other terms that I want you all to make a distinction about. There's assuming and there's presuming. Hear that P? Presume, right? Assume, presume, right? Assume means that you are trying to go to a conclusion without any proof, right? And there's a really, really popular way to break down that word. I'm not even touching it. But assume means that you are trying to reach a conclusion without proof. Presume means that you are trying to reach a conclusion with the evidence that's available, the facts that are there that are presenting themselves, right? The probability of it you're trying to deal with, right? Now, with that in mind, I think it's safe for me to presume that new life may have an issue with evangelism. I think that's safe to presume, right? Either you're not telling, or either you are telling, but you're saying, I would go over there if I was you. I hope that I'm provoking thought. Amen? So, what does Romans talk about? Romans. Well, if you want a feel-good story about you in your natural state, if you want a really, really good feel-good story, stay away from Romans. If you want to know the truth and you really get down to the nitty-gritty of it all, and then at the end you want to rejoice, go to Romans and read Romans. If you look at the scripture that we're dealing with today, that portion of scripture that we're dealing with today, it has four phrases or four words Paul uses for us: weak, ungodly, sinners, enemies. Weak, ungodly, sinners, enemies. Who can you encourage by calling them weak? You weak. You ain't got no spiritual ability. You weak. Who can you encourage by saying you ungodly? You ungodly. What about sinner? You sinner. What about enemy? You enemy. You my enemy. You got a new word called frenemy. Right? But you my enemy. Enemy. Romans says, just like that, and just like I told you all before, when I was growing up and I didn't know the words to that song, if you remember a long time ago, I gave this illustration. I was a little guy. I didn't know the words to the song, but I knew the chorus. And I was struggling with that verse. And I was making up my own words but when I got to that chorus, it said, you're no good, you're no good, you're no good, baby, you're no good. That's what Romans is telling you. You're no good, you're no good, you're no good, three times, baby. You're no good. Amen? Amen. So don't get it twisted. And there's no need for confusion. The book of Romans declares this unapologetically, that you are worse than anything you've ever done. Do you hear that? You are worse than anything you've ever done. Now, don't forget the concept. We're talking about trying to build up your appreciation. I know this seems like a crazy way to do it. But yet, you are bad off without him. Amen? Bad off without him. Unapologetically, the book of Romans says that you are worse than anything you've ever done. Now, I need you all to marinate in that statement. I really do. In order to build up your appreciation, I really need for you to marinate in that statement. Now, most ministers, what they'll do today, they feel the pressure of dealing with today's church, and they'll rush and hurry up and say, "But God," but I'm not. I want you to marinate in that, right? See, I'm like Reverend Steve Lawson. What he says is, God is not interested in putting a plus on your F. He's not interested in putting a plus on your F, and neither am I. Deal with it. You're no good, you're no good, you're no good. You're no good. We're no good. Isn't this a good message? Thomas Paine says this, that which we obtain too easily, we esteem too lightly. That which we obtain too easily, we esteem too lightly. We don't want to do that with salvation. We don't want to do that today with salvation. It took, one writer says, it took less power to change water into wine than it took to change you from what you were. It took less power to raise Lazarus than it takes to change you. It took less power for Jesus to restore sight to the blind than it took to give you a new heart and new eyes. Isn't this a good message? Wow. But you know what? The hardest person to reach with the gospel is someone who is religious and still lost. They think they got it, and they're still lost. I hope you're marinating. Romans 5 and 6 says this, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Weak. Weak. No spiritual strength. No ability to change your situation. One writer says we were utterly helpless. Utterly helpless. You know, there's a difference, and I know you know the difference between may and can, right? May is for permission, can is ability. You ain't no ability to this. You couldn't say, I can do it. I can do it. No. No. You had no ability to change your situation. None at all. None. You were utterly helpless. And guess what? through centuries. Guess what God did? He patiently just allowed you for centuries, people, to try to call themselves to live up to his standards. Centuries. Time after time after time, he was restraining himself, allowing people to call themselves to try to keep the law. And they failed miserably. And then there came a time. At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. One interpretation said this: just at the right time. Just right. Just at the right time. Christ came and died. Isn't that like God? When you have tried everything that you could, right? You've tried everything you could. I was talking to Brother Dexter recently, and he said, you know, I asked him a question. I was like, how do you get your business together? How you started the business, you know? And he said, you know, I did this, and I did that, and I did this. And he said, but then I prayed and I fasted. I prayed and I fasted. And then all of a sudden, when I came to a certain place, God just led me to the right person at the right time, and then things got to roll. He is an on-time God, and that's how he is in regards to your salvation. Just at the right time, right? At the right time. He came in and he stepped into your situation. And he gave his son. And he gave his son. Christ died for the ungodly. He died for the ungodly. It didn't say he died for the superstar. He didn't die for the one who says, no, he is all that. He didn't say that he died for those who were the smartest and the tightest and the coolest. Right? It said he died for the ungodly. The ungodly. And the word ungodly meant you were beyond irreverent. I mean, God wasn't even on your scope. You were just about doing what you were about doing. Amen? You weren't about pleasing him. Ungodly. But when the fullness of time had come, Galatians says, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. As sons. Then he goes on and in verse 7 through 8, and he gives this a fortiori argument, meaning from lesser to greater argument. And he says this: for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. To break this down, you have three people here. You have a righteous person. And it says that with a righteous person, nobody, hardly anybody want to die for that person. Ain't that interesting? A righteous person. A righteous person is the one that makes sure they're religious. Oh, they keep the law, right? They know they saved, right? And they want you to know that they're saved. And matter of fact, if you mess up around them, they will look at you like you're the biggest sinner ever. Ever. Right? ever. If your clothes ain't to par like they think you should be, you know, then you are a sinner, right? And they're like that person in Luke where they say, God, I think I am not like that person, right? God, I thank you that I'm not like him. I thank you that I'm not like her. And matter of fact, they are so about the rules and so about their way and so about, oh, yeah, oh, you know. You can't even hardly have a conversation with them, right? They're just religious, right? Righteous and lost every aspect about building relationships. So if somebody came up and said, would you die for him? Guess what most people are saying?
No.
Right. Exactly. Ain't. Right? But then there is the good person. Right? A good person. And he says, though perhaps, might, possibly, somebody would die for a good person. Now, a good person doesn't mean that they are not righteous. But what it means is that they have coupled their righteousness with good deeds, acts of mercy, right? They have built relationships. And if they have built relationships and they are a person of integrity and a person of God in folks' minds, guess what? One might, perhaps, they might, right? Some of y'all might go to the extent of at least getting beat up for them, right? Right? But die is another thing, right? So perhaps you might get at least beat up for them, right? Right? Some might even die. But look at God. But God shows his great love for us in that while we were still sinners. I'm not talking about righteous. I'm not talking about good. While we were still sinners, that means heinous acting people. I mean, heinous acting. You know what the word heinous means? It means heinous. Consistently jacked up. Consistently wrong. And not even apologizing about. You wrong. In that state, God came and died for you. For you, while we were still sinners, that means we were active while we were still sinning, right? Christ came and died for us. Wow. And that's the provision. That's the provision. The provision that God gave on our behalf. When we could not do it for ourselves, he allowed Christ to come. He sent Christ, right? God, out of love, sent Christ. But who was to die? Christ. We're talking about the Trinity here. God, love, sent him. But Christ died. Christ died for you when you were still sinners. And the word enemy, by the way, means that you had some passion about it. It means that you were hateful. Ever meet hateful people? Right? Hateful people. That's one attitude that literally disfigures your whole face and your whole body and your demeanor. When somebody is hateful, you can literally see it. You can see it. It's in them. It's in them. It's almost akin to even like jealousy. You can tell when somebody's jealous. It's on their face. Right? They're not looking at you, but they're looking at you. Right? You know how they are. Y'all been a victim of jealousy. Right? They're looking at you, but they're not looking at you. Right? And while you're up there busy talking to somebody else, you can just feel somebody just... Right? Right? Hateful. Just hateful. Don't like you. And that's what we were towards God. Hateful. That means that we are, just imagine, just like Elder said before. Here we are. We're puny, right? Compared to him. And we're doing this. Come down. Right? Hateful. And while we were busy doing this, he sent his son. He sent his son. He provided for us because he loved us so much. He loved us so much that while we were busy doing this, he was making provisions for us, saying, who will go? And Jesus said, prepare me a body, and I'll go. But God, they're doing this. They hate you. But he said, go. Provided for us anyway. He goes on in verse 9 to say this. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood. Now, here's the crescendo, right? Much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. And I want to park there. When you are saved, I told you before, you're saved from his wrath. Right? You're saved from his wrath. One day, you're going to have to answer. There will be a reckoning. There will be a day when you have to answer. That's an appointment that you will not miss. So you can go ahead and put it in your calendars. You will be there before him. And you're going to have to give an answer. What will your answer be? What will your answer be? If you're in Christ, guess what you don't have to worry about? His wrath. That is something that we don't even have to worry about, is his wrath, because we are in Christ. That means every time God sees us, if he looks at us, all of a sudden what he sees is that we are in Christ. We're in him. Doesn't mean that we are righteous, but what it means is what Jesus did is he's given us his righteousness, right? He's given us his righteousness, and we are covered from God's wrath. That is something to be appreciative about. Church, you should be so grateful that you will go and tell somebody. There have been several conversations that I've had with folks, and they do not hesitate to tell me about some of the experiences that they have had. Most of the experiences that they are so willing and zealous to share is about food. They will tell you, man, if you go down to Detroit, there's this restaurant, man, and I mean, they got the meat, and they bring the meat to you, and they just cut that meat off the bone. Oh, man. Oh, my goodness, man. You got to go. You got to go there. Oh, man, I ate so much. Oh, right. They will tell you with zeal. Man, where you get that soup? Man, I went to such and such, man. You like? Right? All you do is you just go down here, and then you go down Woodward, and then you turn here, and then you turn there. And that's the exact place to go, man. You just go there and get you one. Right? Right? Y'all see where I'm heading? Girl. Well, you get whatever. Right? How you make whatever. What you put in it. Well, some of y'all don't want to share that. Y'all don't want to share recipes. But anyway, some that do. Girl, I put a bit of this, and I put it that, and then I put it in the oven for this amount of time. And girl, when you do that, and you smell this, and blah, 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 and they want to eat this, and then that. Woo, girl, then everybody like it. Tell them specifically, right? Specifically. Because you're excited about it. Excited about food. Excited to tell about clothes. Excited to tell about recipes and everything else. But once it comes to salvation, once it comes to opening your mouth about the goodness of the Lord, why can't you stand? Why can't you be a witness? For those of us who are in Christ, work on your appreciation. Because when we work on that appreciation will lead to us telling somebody, right? It's just like the man who was healed by Jesus. And Jesus says, now, I don't want you to tell nobody, right? And before Jesus even left, he did what? And they said he lived in 10 cities. And guess what he was doing going around in those 10 cities? Telling everybody about what Jesus did for him. See that appreciation? See what that did? Go and tell somebody. And for those who have not made that decision, you have not made that decision to follow Christ, once again, I will read to you again. Verse 9. We have now been justified by his blood. Much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. Make the decision today to be saved from the wrath of God.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at nlccpontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.